The subject that we are dealing with this morning is how to guard your sons and your daughters from destructive temptations. I'm going to be speaking to you not only as a pastor, but I'm going to be speaking to you as a father. I'm going to be speaking to you as a dad. I guess I qualify for that six times over. I don't have any daughters. Many of you do. I'm getting mine on the other side. As they marry, I inherit a daughter. And perhaps with the Lord's graciousness, as he continues, I'll wind up having six boys and six daughters, six sons and six daughters. And, of course, we'll consider them as our daughters. And that would be quite a reunion, wouldn't it, Brother Jim? Our home has never, ever lacked for noise and movement and excitement. And I have resigned myself towards being surrounded with all types of activity for my entire life and its duration. And that's exciting to be able to see. Let me say from a pastor's heart and from a dad's heart that my philosophy of discipleship begins at home. Jesus called us in Matthew chapter 28 to make not decisions, but disciples. Discipleship is not something that I do as a pastor, put my suit and tie on and go to the church and start making disciples when I go visiting. I need to recognize that first and foremost, as a father, as a husband, I have a responsibility to begin discipleship right in the home that the Lord has given to me. This is why in 1 Timothy 3, among many other qualifications, there are domestic qualifications for a pastor and those in leadership. And therefore, the things that I'm going to be sharing with you have been learned through the school of hard knocks. I have not always lived up to the principles that I'm sharing with you. We've had some rough starts at times in the early years of our marriage. These are things that have been forged on the anvil of experience, and I do not speak to you as one who has arrived. On the contrary, I speak to you as one who is on a journey, who has the Lord's guidance available to him and his ability, even as you do. So let's venture forth into the first part of our message this morning and seek God's wisdom, who is the fount of all knowledge. He is the one that instituted the home. He is the one that instituted the church. And therefore, we can go to him and his word to find wisdom and understanding. And by the way, isn't that wonderful that we can do that? And oh, how we need to build our lives and homes upon the principles of God's word. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for these truths that we're about to share. And Father, may they become part of our lives. And may we, Father, truly desire to multiply ourselves in the lives of those even closest to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps you've heard about the story of a pastor who was from early morning to late night out on visitation, out on calls, out in counseling, out in sermon preparation, out in hospital calls, funerals, the many things that are part of the pastor's life, which they all do joyfully. But he came home late one night and found on the refrigerator, right under one of the magnets, pastor's wife desires a house call. We do need to be careful because we can be so busy cleaning up everybody else's backyard, we forget to clean up our own. Am I right? Do you think that Satan wants to destroy not only workers in the ministry, but leaders in the ministry, and members that are serving God? I believe that it's Satan's will to destroy the witness and the effectiveness of Central Florida Bible Church internally by destroying her homes. You know, I looked at the constituency of Central Florida Bible Church. From the very beginning, when I visited you, it would have been I'd have to check the calendar. I'm not even going to venture a date. I think the first time that I preached was July the 29th. Now, Charles, you'll have to research that for me and bear me out, but I think it might have been July the 29th, my first Sunday. But one of the things that I noticed was how broad on the spectrum the constituency of Central Florida Bible Church. You have segments from every age group, from cradle all the way up to the seniors and the senior members of our church. And what a joy it is as we can see the various age groups. What a nucleus we have to build upon. But I also want to warn you, as I know that we really don't need the warning because we're aware of it well, that Satan is out to destroy us, destroy our families. He would just love to get us as leaders involved in immorality, involved in unethical practices, involved in anything that can cause the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme God's name. And one of the major reasons that God has called us and not raptured us right away after we got saved, He wants us to stick around and give people the right opinion of God. He wants us to be witnesses and lights of the world, salt of the earth, and penetrate an ungodly society and show that Jesus Christ makes a difference. And that's where that difference begins. This message has been on my heart for about a month now, and I'd like to share it with you in a part one formation. For those of you that are taking notes, let me say that I don't have my computer hooked up at home, and I would give you notes on this, but the notes are not going to be tedious and they're not going to be voluminous for you. I just encourage you to jot down some of these major points as you go along. And if you would be interested in getting a hold of one of these tapes, we are able to make this series available to you. Just see Brother Charles, see any one of our elders, and they will be glad to make copies for you on this material that we are covering. How to guard your sons and daughters from destructive temptations. Principle number one, make sure that you yourself, Dad, make sure that you yourself, Mom, are overcoming temptations in your life. You see, so often we as moms and dads have a tendency to authoritatively dictate rules and regulations and expectations for living, and perhaps we ourselves are not living examples of what we are expecting of our children. I was going to bring an umbrella I have one in my car at all times. You never know when you're going to get caught out in the rain. But I didn't bring it in with me, and I don't believe anybody here has an umbrella because you didn't think it was going to rain, and none of us do, and it's not expected to rain. But if I were to open up an umbrella and stand under it and have this is a big beach umbrella now, just picture it, the big kind. And I've seen some people at Pensacola and at Bob Jones University and some of the other campuses, Clearwater, where it can really get windy, and they raise up those big beach umbrellas, and they're just about got five or six students with them. And they're going down campus, and then all of a sudden, a big gust of wind catches one of those, and the poor girl almost goes up in the air. You know. But just picture my family around me, and it's pouring rain. And I have one of these thick beach umbrellas, and all the little chicks and my wife right beside me are all standing under that big umbrella. Now, that's what a father is like. A father is like an umbrella over his family. God has established you, Dad, to be an umbrella of protection as the head of your home. Now, if we have sins that are unconfessed, and if we have practices in our lives that are in open defiance and disobedience to what the Word of God says, and there's a hardened, callous spirit within our souls, that's like poking holes in that umbrella. And what happens in a pouring rain if you open up an umbrella and there's all kinds of holes in it? Pretty soon, mom gets rained on. The kids get wet. And they are open to the destructive effects of the elements. How important it is, Dad, that we be the leaders of our homes so that there might not be any leaks in the umbrella through which the fiery darts of the wicked one can enter in. Oftentimes, children can be driven to rebellion and hostility because of inconsistencies that they see in the lives of parents. Oh, how we need to be cautious in overcoming the temptations by the truths of the Word of God as fathers and mothers. Principle number two. And by the way, I don't think it's wrong for us to think of these principles in light of the Lord's Supper. Because we're going to see that every one of these things that are expected of us were portrayed and lived out by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is our protector. He is our shield. He is our example. He is a model of everything that He taught. And that is the basis for Christian education. Leadership by example. In over 25 years of ministry, I can truly share with you, teenagers with broken hearts who have shared with me the inconsistencies that they have seen in their homes that have caused even rebellions from time past in their own lives. Make sure that you yourself, mom, dad, are overcoming temptations. Principle number two, consecrate each one of your children to God. Consecrate each one of your children to God. Even before they're born, at the moment of conception, that you are aware that God has given you the blessedness of an inheritance from God, consecrate that child to God. The Word of God says in Psalm 127:3, children are a heritage, literally an inheritance of the Lord. That's a stewardship. God has lent you an eternal soul by entrustment to raise up and disciple in the way that they should go. I think of Hannah as she dedicated young Samuel in the book of 1 Samuel. So often in churches we have child dedication. And oh, how we need to be careful that we portray the right concept. So often the parents come up and they bring the little baby, and the pastor is there, and he's holding the baby, and hopefully the baby's not yelling or screaming or churning too much, but oftentimes parents think that there's some kind of a mystical, efficacious endowment of grace that is imparted to that child by the act of dedication. Actually, you know what a child dedication is all about? Mom and dad making a vow before God and men, those in the local church, that we are going to live our lives in such a way as to lead that child in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consecrate each one of your children. Nothing wrong with having devotions. With the baby still in mommy's tummy, that baby hearing daddy's voice, and he's able to. Prenatal studies have been made of fetal stress because of the environment of hostility and arguing, blood pressures and pulse rates. Little children, infants, still in the mother's womb, are able to respond to outside stimuli in a negative and in a positive way. Keep in mind, John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. But how we need to make sure that they're learning to listen to the Word of God even before they're born. I'll tell you what, you instill the practice of praying, Mom and Dad, together and reading the Word of God. It's something that you'll continue to do, and God will bless that for you. Principle number three, in guarding your sons and daughters from destructive temptations, instill the fear of the Lord in your children. Instill the fear of the Lord in your children. By the way, lest there be a grandpa or a grandma here, or a great-grandpa, a great-grandma who would say, well, all of my children have flown the coop. Hey, you can still have a great part in doing all of these principles, practicing all of these principles when the children come your way. And in many, many ways, you're able, as Titus says, the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and how to practice biblical principles at home. Sometimes, by the way, as a sidelight, not getting off of the subject, but local church consultants often talk about departmentalization for every single age group in Sunday school. Let me have a word about that. You know, we as a church can so departmentalize ourselves that we can violate the principle of the book of Titus that says the older women are to teach the younger women. And you know, sometimes we need that cross-decade interaction where we can learn. And if you don't do it in Sunday school, you better do it somewhere. You know, I believe when I look around at this congregation that God has blessed us with, and I see all age groups, but some of you ladies that are older, now I didn't say old, don't get mad at me, I said older. You know, you are a gift to the young moms in this church. You are a gift. God has placed you here so that you can use the experience that you have to be able to give guidance in the rearing, especially young moms and dads who think, boy, we're going through this, and we're unique, and nobody else has ever had a crying baby that won't sleep all night. And Mom, did you ever have this? Or some of you are asked by young couples, and isn't it wonderful to get some good godly counsel? That's one of the purposes of women's ministries and men's ministries, getting together and talking about things that share. My previous ministry, I had a men's Bible study. But our Bible study was unique because it was a get-together in which we did not know what we were going to deal with. We would get together on a Saturday morning, and we would just get together and let the Spirit of God lead us. And, you know, we would say, well, Joe, you had a hard time at work. What does the Bible say about that subject that you just brought up? And you know, never one time did that meeting ever fail to be a blessing, a tremendous blessing, because the Word of God was applied and older men taught principles to the younger men. And what a wonderful time it was to be able to share. And it was impromptu. Now, that doesn't mean that every ministry of the church is to be impromptu in order for the Spirit of God to work. But, you know, a church needs a certain amount of spontaneity within its diet in which the people feel that they can contribute things. And where do I fit in? You know, I learned a long time ago that when people see where they fit in a church, and where they can be used, they'll stay. But if people visit and they attend 4 or 5 weeks and you don't show them the way, number one, of the Lord to get them saved, but if you don't show them where they fit in, oftentimes they'll just go somewhere else. But we need to show individuals, and that's the value. Instill the fear of the Lord, and that can so often be done, the older teaching the younger. Look at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, if you will. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Word of God talks about the fear of the Lord, Proverbs chapter 9, as the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. And we think that as dads, our responsibility is just to bring the bacon home and somehow leave everything else to mom if it ever gets done when it comes to Christian education. But we need to impart the fear of the Lord. Now look at Proverbs 8:13. Proverbs 8:13. Notice how the fear of the Lord is to be communicated. When we teach and instill the fear of the Lord in our children, it means this. Verse 13. We need to teach our children to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. The definition of the fear of the Lord, by the way, I'd like to share it with you if you'd like to jot it down. The constant awareness that God is watching everything you say, everything you do, that He will reward or He will chasten accordingly. We need to teach our children that God is watching and He's aware of everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. And He will reward or chasten accordingly. Let me encourage your children at home in your devotion time. Help your teenagers, help your children, your toddlers even, to begin memorizing the Word of God. Let me give you some passages that are good starters for you to get your children and grandchildren to start memorizing. And give them some incentives. Encourage them to memorize them. Psalm 139 is an excellent one. Let me have you turn there. Psalm 139, verse 2. Psalm 139, verse 2 is an excellent one. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Psalm 139 and verse 2. Teach them the fear of the Lord, that the Lord is concerned about their thought life. Then also verse 4 of Psalm 139. Teach young children that there's not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Every idle word will be brought up in the day of judgment, it says in Matthew chapter 12. Those things that are spoken in secret shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Then look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. An excellent scripture, Proverbs 15 and verse 3. Teach your children to memorize passages such as Proverbs 15:3. These are not long verses. A toddler with practice can memorize this in a week. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Teach your child Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. Proverbs 5:21. For the eyes of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all His goings. Now I'm going to give you, before we complete tonight or today, I'm going to give you one more principle. And then we're going to enter into the Lord's Supper. Without this principle, I believe all of the other principles that I'm going to share with you will fall to the ground unheard. And that is this. Principle number four, establish lines of communication with your child early in their life. I have seen homes where children were never encouraged to communicate their feelings. Oftentimes, the attitudes were, children are to be seen and not heard. These are the rules. No questions are to be asked. What would people say in the church if they saw you doing what you were doing? And we convey to our kids that the only reason we want them to be right and good and holy and pure is because we're concerned about our reputation as a pastor. And what would people think of me if they saw you doing that? And we make Sanhedrin legalists out of our kids. Careful. Is it not better to, from the very beginning, work with our children, establish lines of communication, communicate love to your children? If they have a question, discuss it. Don't attack back and say, you should know better. Discuss it. Take them to the Word of God as the fount of all wisdom and understanding. There have been many times I've had to do that as a dad. Questions were raised about behaviors, especially in the areas of separation. Questions were asked. I was challenged on an issue by my children. Do I blow up? My reaction will determine the outcome of whether or not they internalize the Word of God. But if I allow them to speak and then take them to the source of the Word of God and establish principle upon principle, precept upon precept, and I'm practicing the other principles that I will be sharing with you, your children will begin to sense love. Children, and we're going to be looking tonight at the life of Samson, and he'll be illustrating some of the things that we're talking about. Children that do not sense communication and love through their parents will seek it elsewhere. That's why in the area of the Northeast, where I used to live, you have so many gangs who wear the leather jackets, who cut their hair and have certain jewelries hanging down from here and there. They're starved to identify, to find acceptance. What better place for young people to find acceptance and love than at home? Oh, God, challenge us to guard our sons and daughters from destructive temptations. Mom, Dad, make sure you yourself are overcoming temptation. If your child becomes aware of inconsistencies in your life, where you're buckling to peer pressure at work, where you're acting this way and acting that way, and he's aware of it, that's a sure remedy for your child to throw off the entire cloak of Christianity as legalism, as illogical, as something that doesn't even apply to him. But we need to show our children and our grandchildren, hey, Christianity works. It helps you to keep it all together. And when lived out, Christianity and the Word of God does have the solutions that we need. Concentrate. Consecrate each one of your children to God. Thirdly, we saw, instill the fear of God in your children by having the fear of the Lord, first of all, in your own life. And fourthly, establish lines of communication with your child early. I'd like to just close with a few thoughts to preface the Lord's Supper by saying this. When we talk about communication, I'm thankful that we have a communicating God. God communicated with us. As ugly and hostile as we were, He never stopped loving us. He never stopped reaching out. There may be some here that have wayward children or wayward grandchildren. Don't quit praying and exercising and reaching out. Our Savior reached out to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And He sent His Son, who communicated to us where we were, and that Son was the express image, the Logos, the Word of God made flesh, and He modeled truth. We have a communicating God who gave us His Word. By the way, it breaks my heart when I hear of Christians that don't want to read that Word, don't want to spend time in the Word of God. This is God's love letter to you. And then we have the privilege of communicating with our Lord even further in the exercise of the ordinances, because we're remembering all that our Savior did for us. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as personal Savior, your greatest need is not principles on raising children. Your greatest need is not how to be the great grandpa and grandma that the Lord wants you to be. Your greatest need is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Allow Him to demonstrate to you His love. Allow Him to save your soul. Repent of your sins. Realize that Jesus paid it all on the cross at Calvary for you. Embrace Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation. Then give Him all of your baggage, all of the sins, the wreck of your life. Give it to the Lord and allow the Lord to begin working in your life, using you as a vessel fit for His use. And oh, the Lord certainly wants to do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We've just shared just four beginning principles in raising godly sons and daughters, enabling them to overcome destructive temptations. I'm wondering how many here would say, Pastor John, I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. I want to be the right kind of influence, because I know people are looking to me, first in my home, and they're looking to me even in church ministry and at work. But I want to dedicate my life, just anew and afresh, to be a testimony and a witness for the Lord. Won't you share that prayer with Christ this morning and commit that to Him? I'd like to remember you in prayer. How many would say, Pastor John, I've prayed that prayer. That's my heart's desire, to just make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, so that I might be the best influence I can be in my home and in my life. Let me see your hand. Just raise it up. Yes, God bless you. Last week we had one that raised his hand because he did not know Christ as Savior. Is there another here that would say, pray for me, Pastor John. I've never settled the issue of my eternal destiny, and I want to receive Christ this morning as my personal Lord and Savior. Let me see your hand. If you've never trusted in Christ, you'd like to make that decision this morning. Father, may it be truly so that each one here knows you as Savior. Father, may it be our desire to know Him and to make Him known, beginning in our Jerusalem, right in our own homes, within our borders, within our church. And then, Father, to carry out the message of the gospel. Thank you for our Savior who gave His all, who died on the cross and shed His blood, that we might have everlasting life. And as we observe the table of the Lord, we do examine our hearts and lives as your word admonishes us, to see if there be some unconfessed sin, some area of our life that is not yielded to the leadership of your Lordship. And Father, we confess that before your presence. just in the quietness of this moment, God is speaking to you about a need to get right with Him. The quietness of this moment, before the observance of the Lord's table, take this moment to meditate and pray before His presence. Thank you, Father, for the assembling of ourselves together here this day, for the great privilege that we have of observing the table of our Lord as your children, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now as we would enter into this sacred ordinance, together as one body, in communion with Christ. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen.